And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, Jim from Grove Oak checked in. He says ABC News gave I don't know what he's trying to say here. I got an air text.
Assuming he's meaning giving air cover for Biden.
Gave air cover for Biden. I got you. For reporting that he is on his way to a closed door meeting with European leaders. My interpretation is he's on the beach again. Yeah, no doubt, man. We'll see. Gary from Decatur says, I don't think the media is finally coming around. I think they can't possibly lose any more credibility and stay on the air. Well, okay, that's fair. Hey, listen, we're going to do this first dipper, and we're going to do this a little different. JP, I'm going to be testing your skills today. I fully expect that John is going to be giving you all kinds of bonus points for your button pushing today. Just saying.
I'm ready.
Okay. So last night was the Bret Baier interview from Fox with Kamala Harris. I would hazard that this was the first time she has ever had to do an interview where she was not assured of the outcome, or at the very least had the ability to ask for the cleanup afterwards. Cleanup on aisle 7, load of Kamala to spill to the floor. I mean, that's where a lot of her interviews have been. They've either been puffy, fluffy, filled with nothingness, about topics that really don't gather much in the way of votes. They just kind of get you out there and try to feel the vibes. Or they've been the kind that started off looking like they might mean something, and then CBS does things like won't release the full transcript and then edits out certain portions and puts it up online different than what it was in real life. And you look at it and go, why is that journalism? Because it's not. Well, last night she was on with Bret Baier. And I'll be honest with you, Bret Baier is one of my favorite online interviewers or on-air interviewers. I think he's pretty solid. I don't think he's rough stuff. I don't think he's one of those guys who will come in there so hardcore that you can't get a word in edgewise, but he also won't be pushed around, and that's pretty much what we saw last night. I will say this. Here's the takeaway. Just bottom line up front. I was taught when you brief the general, give the bottom line up front and then explain it thereafter. So the bottom line up front was, in terms of this interview last night, the right and the left saw what they wanted to see. But if you were an undecided voter, you probably walked away still trying to figure things out. I don't think there was anything in there that moved the needle with the people she needed to move the needle with. She will not move the far right. They are not going to move to her. She doesn't have to worry about the far left. She could get up there and basically, you know, kill kittens on the TV screen, and they would still love her. It's those people in the middle that are like, I don't know, man. I'm so tired of all this. I'm still thinking. Don't bother me. I'm trying to figure this out. If they were watching, if they were tuning in, they didn't get, like, if they were watching and say, okay, what's she going to say about Israel? I don't know. What's she going to say about the economy because my groceries are so expensive? I didn't get anything. What's she going to say about why she stood behind Biden so long and then waited to the last minute to get put in place? I mean, I've been a Democrat for years, but I don't know. I mean, why is she? Nothing. And she was asked about all of it. And her answers, as a far right guy, I will just tell you her answers were vacuous. All right? There was very little substance. I found one place actually when I was watching it with Charlene last night where I said, well, okay, she did pretty good on that one. And I'll tell you about that in a minute. But that was only one. I thought that she at times got strident. I thought her voice sounded whiny. I thought it was one of those petulant moments where she says, excuse me, I'm trying to answer. Would you let me answer? I'm sorry, I'm trying to answer. And I understand that frustration. I get it. But it didn't come across good. The left, on the other hand, was like, see, she can mix it up. See, she's got a backbone. See, she'll stand there with old Bret Baier from that Fox News, those right-wing dogma-reading individuals. So I guarantee you the left were like, we're for it. We like what we saw. And the right was like, oh, what a soulless harpy with no answers for her questions. It's the people in the middle that needed to know why they should vote for her, and I'm pretty sure she missed out on that one. And then there's also the behind-the-scenes story, which is starting to come out a little bit. So before we go into sound clips, which is what we're going to do, we're going to dive into sound clips here in a minute, and we're going to work through some sound clips. Brace yourselves. You're going to have to hear her voice. But nonetheless, we're going to break it down a little bit by bit, on key portions of the interview. But let me just say this. Part of how the interview was conducted is also very telling. All right? Very, very telling. We're learning now that behind the scenes, she and her staff were a piece of work, man. So not only did they agree to this interview, which, by the way, was an interview they needed. Let me say this, too. It's also an interview they knew they needed. They would not have agreed to this if they didn't need it. How about that? They knew that her reputation was becoming the person who dodges the media, and when she does do media stuff, it's fluffy, and there's no controversy. They needed her to be seen as tough. And I guarantee you, from watching her body language last night, she was nervous as a cat. She was not at all comfortable. She was ready for just like she's mad when she watched. She had a chip on her shoulder the entire time. You watched it. Am I right? I felt like she had a chip on her shoulder. Did you see that?
Yeah, and she did not handle the hostility well. She got very flustered, and when you look on the contrast of Trump and J.D. Vance, when they're only talking to hostile interviewers and they're able to calmly say their point, while she didn't handle it well. She got very flustered and angry.
And I don't think she had hostility coming at her. I don't think she handled her own hostility well. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, the bottom. Yeah, exactly. I mean, she bowed up. She got angry. Her voice went up. She started shaking her hands, pointing her fingers. And I'm like, okay. Somebody in her staff is freaking out right now. Oh, God, we should have given her something to calm her down before she came in here. Here's the thing. What we're also learning is behind the scenes, they were playing games. On the one hand, I got a piece from Red State. It's one of the only articles that I printed out for this particular segment of the show. But she was scheduled to be there. I mean, this was going to be done. They weren't going to have time to. They literally said, we'll come in at 5. And Brett Baer wanted to air it at 6. And they knew that. They knew exactly what they were doing. And they were supposed to have roughly a 25 to 30 minute interview. And then Brett Baer was going to air the interview, not edit. But you still have things you have to do. You have to get it ready to go on the air. I mean, there's formatting that has to happen. You've got to make sure the audio is aligned, and you've got to do all the things necessary to make sure that it shows up on the TV the way it's supposed to be in real life. So they knew what the time constraints were, so they were supposed to start at 5 p.m. Start at 5 p.m. Start. That's 5 p.m., by the way. That's
Eastern
time. So 4 p.m. here, because it was going to go on the air at the very next hour. So it was going to be 25 or 30 minutes, and then at the last minute, they said, we'll do 20. Okay. And then they were 15 minutes late getting there. So at that point, they knew exactly what they were doing. They were trying to ice the kicker here, basically.
Yeah. That's exactly the reference Brett Baer said in the post-interview thing that he did on Fox, said that felt like they were icing him.
Yeah. I mean, they were trying to get him off his game, trying to make sure I don't think he was rattled, though. I mean, in fact, I looked at Charlene at one point. I said, I have never seen an interview so prepared.
Yeah, had clips ready to show her. And I like that, because they had her defend her own words.
Exactly. They brought receipts. Mm-hmm. They absolutely brought receipts. So they went on. The interview started late. They cut it down at the end. And then what we also have learned was that her staff was standing around. And at some point, her staff was waving their hands in the air, saying, we got to be done. We got to be done. Why? Why are they dictating when it's done? They're not the ones that have to air it at a certain time. They've got an opportunity here to sit with a journalist and get everything out you want to say. And their mode is to go, we're done. And in fact, at one point, Brett Baer literally said, where's the quote? It was something along the lines of he was getting the bum rush.
He's like, they're giving me a hard out.
A hard out, yeah. Yeah, exactly. They were waving him out. We're done. It's not his staff. It was her staff doing that. Mm-hmm. Maybe they were trying to throw in the white towel. I don't know. Yeah. All I know is this. In the background, this did not go as smoothly. And if Kamala really wanted to embrace the opportunity, she should have showed up early, shook his hand, smiled, sat down and said, all right, let's get this done. What do you want to talk about? And then she could have said, no, I don't agree with that, Brett. And here's why. And she wouldn't do that. She wouldn't answer the questions. So we're going to walk through after the next break in a minute. We're going to walk through some of the clips on this. And I'll tell you, these clips are roughly a minute to a minute and a half long, and we'll play one and then we'll come back to it. And so I'm just, listen, just brace yourselves, because there's times when it's going to be really frustrating to listen to. If you didn't watch it last night, you're going to have to go ahead and just start from scratch. If you watched it last night and you still have PTSD, just know we're going to go through it again, but we'll be there together. All right? All right, we're going to take a break. Let's take that break, JP. We'll come right back, and we will jump on in. Just hang on, fellas, because here we go. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades up in here. All right, so we're gonna start walking through some clips. Kamala Harris's interview. I'm calling this segment Big Talk. And so Big Talk happened last night, but the Big Talk wasn't always clear, cogent, and on point. Sometimes it was argumentative. Other times you look at it and go, I don't know what was said. In fact, one of the most deliberative moments I thought that Bret Baier evidenced was when he just flat told her he doesn't know what she's talking about. And I think that's my first clip. Let's go ahead and let's do this. I want to give you this one clip right here. To me, was one of the most telling clips. No one's ever said this to her in an interview ever. Play it.
Frankly, exhausted of Bret.
More than 70% of people tell the country is on the wrong track. They say the country is on the wrong track. If it's on the wrong track, that track follows 3.5 years of you being vice president and President Biden being president. That is what they're saying, 79% of them. Why are they saying that? If you're turning the page, you've been in office for 3.5 years.
And Donald Trump has been running for office.
But you've been the person holding the office.
Come on.
Madam
you
Vice
and I
President.
Both know what I'm talking about. You and I both know what I'm talking about.
I actually don't. What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is that over the last decade,
but
people
you're the lever
have become
of power.
But listen, over the last decade, it is clear to me, and certainly the Republicans who are on stage with me.
Wow. So, okay, first of all, kudos to Bret Baier on that one. The very fact that she said, you know exactly what I'm talking about, and he had the chutzpah to say, actually, I don't know what you're talking about. He asked her flat out, 79%, the polling says 79% of America are concerned about the direction the country's going in. And that's after 3.5 years of her being the vice president. Her response to that was not to talk about their fears or concerns or why they're unfounded or what she's, you know, even gonna do for that matter, not the least of which is what she's done. But her response was to say, Donald Trump, what is that? Listen, you're gonna hear throughout these clips probably Donald Trump's name multiple times. Because her answer to everything was that Trump is the problem. It's like she doesn't want anyone to know that she's currently in office. She did not even address the fact in this question that she's the one in office, even when he pointed out 3.5 years of you, he said. 3.5 years of you. And then her response was, well, Donald Trump's been running for office for 10 years. And he said, you're the one in power. So listen, I mean, this clip right here was one of the most telling. It sort of set the tone, in my opinion, for the entire thing. He brought the facts. He asked the question. She really didn't give an answer except Trump derangement syndrome. You got any thoughts on that? I mean, did you?
Yeah, I was just going to say there were a lot of yeah, but Trumps in this interview.
Yes.
So, yeah, but Trump. And it appears that she's been told by her team to make this as much about Trump as possible. And that's what this whole interview, when she didn't have an answer, is just, let's just talk about Trump. And see if that works.
And then, by the way, she should never play poker. She has some tells, right? And one of her tells is you can see, as she's trying to gather thoughts, you can see the deer in the headlights for the briefest of seconds, and she starts off by trying to fill the space by going, and then a word comes out.
Yeah. It's,
she did that. There was one interview she did where she was asked about the southern border, but madam, you haven't been to the southern border. And she said, and I haven't been to Europe either. and like, that was funny.
Yeah. It's, come on, Brett. You know what we're talking about.
I really don't know what you're talking about. All right. So we're gonna break them down like this throughout. And you guys can text in as we go and tell me what you think about stuff. David from Athens has checked in. He said, David from Bucky's says, Phil, CBS's interview with VP Harris was edited for content and time allowed. They just forgot the disclaimer. Nice. Nice. Yeah, forgot the disclaimer entirely, and they also changed the answers. John from Brownsboro says, when Kamala was pressed on her 4 years as VP and why she did nothing, and she blamed it on Trump campaigning for 10 years, Brett should have asked how a civilian talking to the people derailed the administration. She's the second most powerful person in the world. How much of a grip does she have on her own authority? She doesn't. And you know what? She doesn't really walk in her authority. That's a key point, is there is something to be said for, and that's not ostentatious. It's not like saying you're wrong, you're lording it over people. But walking in your authority means, number one, you take action when needed, and number two, you own it when things don't go right. And so she really didn't do that. In fact, in this particular case, I would say that she literally avoided that. She took every pain. I mean, by the way, who does this? I'm gonna try not to keep, you know, second guessing Brett Baer, because it's already over with. So why do that? But I will say this: I wish that he had followed up by saying, not just what is Trump running for 10 years have to do with anything, even though he hasn't been, but how about this: the last 16 years, only four of those years have had a Republican president. 16 years, only four of them have had, and you've been in the thick of it, in the Senate and now in the White House. It's going to go like this for a while, y'all. Brace yourselves. We're gonna do more of this stuff. But I got quotes in here that we're gonna do that detail foreign policy. I got quotes in here from this interview that detail economy. How many do we have total? We have six more to go through if we can make it all the way through. If I can handle myself all the way through. How much time have I got right now? Do I have time for another clip before we go?
Got about 2 minutes.
How long is that clip too?
Second clip is 2.5 minutes long.
Then we won't do that one right now. Yeah. All right. No worries. Tim from Decatur just checked in. He says, Tim from Decatur, one big problem we have this year with the presidential election is, regardless of who wins, Kamala Harris has to certify the election. I pray to God Donald Trump does win, but she still has to certify it. She'll certify it. And I say that because she can't be what she's been claiming to be all this time and then get up there and do what she alleges that Trump would do. All right. So there's that. Jeff Mendiana says, hey, Phil, the things that Kamala Harris, the Democrats, are saying about Trump, I think just as bad, if not worse, than what the Nazis were saying about the Jews in the late 1930s. This is why we need to remember our history. Fair point, Jeff. Very fair point. Devin from Brownsboro checks in. He says, the only policy I've seen on the interview was that Kamala said she would follow the law, which she responded with for every question about policy. One other thing that I was laughing at, he says, was her constant use of the phrase, let's be honest. He says, LOL, that's rich coming from her. Her campaign went for the game-winning field goal. They ended up with the Bama-Auburn kick six. It was brutal. Did we have to invoke the kick six for JP's benefit?
I got the analogy.
I like it. It makes me happy. like I said earlier, the left saw what the left wanted to see. The right saw what the right expected to see. And the folks in the middle, who she's trying to gain time with, I don't think it resonated. And that last clip I just played you is a clear indication of why. It's something, man. She's a word salad bar. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We got more of this. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And, oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two. And I'm in the middle of Dipper number one, talking about big talk from last night. So let's just jump right in. So I'm going to play you a clip now from another portion of the interview. It's about 2 minutes, so I may not even play the whole thing. I may just get into it and then stop it. But for right now, JP, hit clip two.
If he's as bad as you say, that half of this country is now supporting this person who could be the 47th president of the United States, why is that happening?
This is an election for president of the United States. It's not supposed to be easy.
I know, but
it's not supposed to be. It is not supposed to be a cakewalk.
So are they misguided, the 50%? Are they stupid? What is it?
Oh, God, I would never say that about the American people. And in fact, if you listen to Donald Trump, if you watch any of his rallies, he's the one who tends to demean and belittle and diminish the American people. He's the one who talks about an enemy within, an enemy within, talking about the American people, suggesting he would turn the American military on the American people.
We asked that question to the former president today. Harris Faulkner had a town hall, and this is how he responded.
I heard about that. They were saying I was, like, threatening. I'm not threatening anybody. They're the ones doing the threatening. They do phony investigations. I've been investigated more than Alphonse Capone. He was the greatest gangster. No, it's true. No, but think of it. It's called weaponization of government. It's a terrible thing.
So,
Brett, I'm sorry, and with all due respect, that clip was not what he has been saying about the enemy within that he has repeated. When he's speaking about the American people, that's not what you just showed.
Well, he was asked.
You can stop it there. You can stop it. Was that the end of the clip anyway? There was a little more, but I think it's all the same. So let me just break that. First of all, that was a whiny voice. Someone's got a coacher. She needs a life coach. When you get on there, just going, that's not going to help your situation whatsoever. If you want to be seen as a strong, assertive female, you can't use a little bitty girl voice when you start off talking. But then the other piece is Brett's asking her about the 50% or more of America that is absolutely for Donald Trump. And what about them? If 50% of the country likes him, then how can she possibly say he's, you know, crazy, he's deranged? And she went all in. And then, of course, she got Trump's the one who's mean. He says mean things. He said, you send people to jail, lady. I mean, you – and then – what I love, though, this is one of the first times in the interview where it was obvious that Brett Baer came prepared. Because the question was not asked about Trump saying the enemy within. But he was ready for her to do that, and he pivoted real quick, and he played an audio clip for her to listen to. And he did that multiple times throughout the interview. Let me ask you something. Has Trump ever, I need to go research it. Has Trump ever talked about the quote-unquote enemy within and turning the American military on the U.S. people? I don't recall that ever being a thing.
I've seen it referenced many times, but I have not seen an original clip of him saying that, no.
And that's what we need. Mm-hmm. So I'll tell you what, I'll give her enough of a prop to say I'll go research it, but this claim that – does anybody really believe that Donald Trump is going to take the U.S. military – and turn it on the American people? Oh, by the way, can we please recall who it was that said, if you want to bring a AR-15, man, you better go ahead and bring an F-16. I mean, who was that? Oh, that'd be the Biden-Harris administration. So, yeah. All right, that's kind of how the way things went.
By the way, I just want to say this too. Yeah. When she got upset, they didn't play the actual clip. Even if that clip exists, which I'm doubting if it does, he never claimed that was a clip. He was saying that was Trump's response to them asking about that clip.
Yeah.
And then she got upset that they didn't play the clip. Like, they didn't say they were going to play the clip. That's Trump's response to the clip. Clearly you're not listening to what he's saying.
Absolutely. All right. Clip number three. Let's see how it goes. Clip number three. Here we go.
You know, voters tell pollsters all over the country and here in Pennsylvania that immigration is one of the key issues that they're looking at this election, and specifically the influx of illegal immigrants from more than 150 countries. How many illegal immigrants would you estimate your administration has released into the country over the last 3.5 years?
Well, I'm glad you raised the issue of immigration because I agree with you. It is a topic of discussion that people want to rightly have. And you know what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah, but
right
do you
now,
just a number. Is, do you but, think it's but, 1 million, 3 million?
Brett, let's just get to the point. Okay, the point is that we have a broken immigration system that needs to be repaired.
So your Homeland Security Secretary said that 85% of apprehensions.
I'm not finished. We have
it's a rough estimate of 6 million people have been released into the country. And let me just finish. I'll get to the question. I promise you.
I was beginning to answer.
And when you came.
Wow.
No, she wasn't.
No, she wasn't. And the first thing she says, I'm glad you asked the question. No, she wasn't. She wasn't glad at all because that's one of her least favorite topics, and she shows it. So it's a topic of discussion that people rightfully want to have. No, they want it friggin' fixed, lady. They want it fixed. But then she said, our system is broken. But he went on to talk about the fact, and I thought it was going to be in that particular clip. Maybe it's in another clip in a minute. I thought that was a clip where he was going to say, there were more than 90 executive orders that your administration did away with within the first 24 hours of taking office that then opened up the border. And I'll just listen. I look at it and go, just wow. Is there one of those? You see one of those in there that's going to wind up having that particular segment in?
I don't see it in any of these titles, but it may be in one of the other ones. Well, but
that's my recollection of where the line of questioning went.
Yes.
And she did not want to deal with it. She would not touch it. And she kept trying to talk over him. She was mad that he wouldn't let her get her filibuster point out. She didn't want to deal with the issue. She never would admit that 6 million is what her own Department of Homeland Security has said, even though we know it's more than 10 million. All right, so that's clip three. Let's do clip four.
This particular one from the Trump campaign has gotten a lot of attention.
Oh, yeah.
Kamala supports taxpayer-funded sex changes for prisoners.
Surgery.
For prisoners.
For prisoners. Every transgender inmate in the prison system would have access.
So are you still in support of using taxpayer dollars to help prison inmates or detained illegal aliens to transition to another gender?
I will follow the law.
There you go.
And it's a law that Donald Trump actually followed. You're probably familiar with, now it's a public report, that under Donald Trump's administration, these surgeries were available to, on a medical necessity basis, to people in the federal prison system. And I think, frankly, that ad from the Trump campaign is a little bit of like throwing, you know, stones when you're living in a glass house.
The Trump aides say that he never advocated for that prison policy and no gender transition surgeries happened during his presidency.
Well, you know what, you got to take responsibility for what happened in your administration.
Yeah, no surgeries happened in his presidency.
It's in black and white.
Would you still advocate for using taxpayer dollars for gender reassignment surgeries?
I will follow the law, just as I think Donald Trump would say he did.
You would have a say as president.
He spent $20 million on those ads trying to create a sense of fear in the voters because he actually has no plan in this election that is about focusing on the needs of the American people.
Of the American people, not
$20 million.
How about the needs of the transgenders in prison who desperately need to have some kind of a surgery so they can feel different than they're born and stuff? I mean, that was one of the segments that was hard because, again, Bret Baier brought the receipts. Mm-hmm. He played her own words back to her, and her only response was not that she would. The question was, do you still support it? By the way, I want you to notice he carefully worded his questions. He didn't say, do you deny that? Or he didn't say, what would you do? He said, do you still support? Because the question is based upon the fact that she expressed support in the past.
How rich of it for her to say you have to take responsibility for what happens in your administration, too. Yeah. Meanwhile, she's been dodging responsibility for the whole interview.
Somebody told me that that's already become a Trump commercial, taking responsibility for what's in your own administration. it's just too funny. All right, take me to a break there, JP. We'll do a break. We'll come back and see if we can get some more in before the bottom of the hour. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just putting all the truth out there you could slap on a bumper sticker. So where are we? We're on soundtrack number 5. Is that right? By the way, special thanks to Jay from Killen. Sent in a link to a YouTube video. It's a little bit long. It's about almost 2 minutes long, but they mix in a couple of clips of Trump talking. And this is what he says. Here's the clip that Special K, meaning Kamala, is talking about. I'll leave the interpretation to y'all. Yeah, so we just kind of watched it briefly during the ad break, trying to figure out what he said. I could see where Trump's not always the most artful speaker. I don't think he was saying, I intend to take the U.S. military and run tanks through people's houses. It's not like that. If we have time, we might play that later in the show. You just hang on to that clip for us, all right? Let's jump back on to audio clip number 5 for the day. Take it.
Follows on that ad.
It's interesting you said turn the page, Madam Vice President. You were asked on 2 different shows last week what, if anything, you would do differently than President Biden. Here's what you said.
Would you have done something differently than President Biden during the past 4 years?
There is not a thing that comes to mind in terms of, and I've been a part of most of the decisions that have had impact.
Under a Harris administration, what would the major changes be and what would stay the same?
Sure. Well, I mean, I'm obviously not Joe Biden.
I know.
And so that would be one change in terms of. But also, I think it's important to say with, you know, 28 days to go, I'm not Donald Trump.
So you're not Joe Biden, you're not Donald Trump, but nothing comes to mind that you would do differently?
Let me be very clear. My presidency will not be a continuation of Joe Biden's presidency.
All right, freeze it right there.
And like.
That's interesting to me. That's the first time she tried to throw Joe under the bus. Now, we all know that she was part of the decision-making process to get him off the ballot and get her name out there as the number one on the ticket. But what we just heard for the very first time was her willingness to say that what she's been a part of is not what she wants to do. So that, to me, was one of the most telling moments. That was and if I were Joe and Jill Biden right now, I'd be ticked. Because Joe's been out there. When he knows where he is and what he's doing, he's been saying things along the lines of, she's been right there with us. She's going to do a great job. She's done so much to help us make the country the way it is now. And then she just flat out said, let's be honest, there will not be a continuation of the Joe Biden presidency. Wow. Keep playing.
Every new president that comes into office, I will bring my life experiences, my professional experiences, and fresh and new ideas. I represent a new generation of leadership. I, for example, am someone who has not spent the majority of my career in Washington,
D.C. Wow, stop it right there. She just threw Joe under the bus again. She basically said she's been working for a career politician who has spent his entire life in D.C. and that she ain't that. In my opinion, this was the it's time to step on Uncle Joe moment. Play it.
I invite ideas, whether it be from the Republicans who are supporting me, who were just on stage with me minutes ago, and the business sector, and others who can contribute to the decisions that I make about, for example, my plan for increasing the supply of housing in America and bringing down the cost of housing, addressing the issue of small businesses, which is about
all
working
right, you can stop
with.
There. She went on basically to give her platform speech, but I think the most telling moment in that entire thing was she was asked how to address her own comments that said that she would do nothing different, and her response was to throw her current boss and alleged friend under the bus by saying, in essence, I'm interpreting here, but in essence, he's a career politician who's always been in D.C., and she's not, and she is not going to continue his legacy. So, wow. Let's jump on before we run out of time. Let's go to the next clip. What number are we on right now? Six?
Number six.
Number six. Hit it.
A number of experts thought you would say China. The FBI director had said that. But you said Iran. If that's the case, what do you say to critics who look at the actions of your administration and say you're not acting like Iran is the number one threat?
Well, I will tell you most recently, whether it was in April or in October, and then several hours on each occasion that Iran posed a threat to Israel, I was there. Most recently in the Situation Room, in the most recent attack, working with the heads of our military and doing what America must always do to defend and to support Israel in its requirement to defend itself.
Stop it there. I will give her props. This is the moment when in the interview I looked at Charlene. We were sitting there on the couch watching it, and I said, that might have been her best answer yet. I say that because she was able to position herself as being a person who knows how to be in the Situation Room, working with the military, handling an international crisis. She didn't really fumble this one. I mean, the only thing is the experts say that China is our largest global threat right now, but you cannot deny that Iran is a global threat right now. And Iran is very active, and we actually are in a bit of a sideline shooting war with Iran, if you get down to it, if you count the Houthis and Hamas and all of it. But all that to say, she didn't fumble this one, in my opinion. I don't know if you have another thought on that before we go to the next clip.
She fumbled it later on when Brett followed up and said, well, your policies, Iran has gotten stronger, has gotten richer, and then that's when the hubda 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 came in.
That's exactly right.
So she had a great supposed answer where, you know, other people wouldn't have had a follow-up, but when Brett Baer had a follow-up and she didn't have an answer for that.
Do we have time for one more clip? All right, hit it.
He's unstable. He is unstable, Brett.
He's not well. You say he's mentally not stable.
He's not talking about Trump.
Let me ask you this. You told many interviewers that Joe Biden was on his game, that ran around circles on his staff. When did you first notice that President Biden's mental faculties appeared diminished?
Joe Biden.
Hesitation.
I have watched in from the Oval Office to the Situation Room, and he has the judgment and the experience to do exactly what he has done in making
it. She refused to go down the road of having propped up somebody who was too senile to be the president. But I love the masterful. That was like in a deposition right there where you have planned out how you want to lead the witness. What he basically said was he accused her of accusing Donald Trump of being unstable and not competent and unable to handle the functions of the office. And then he pivoted and said, when did you first notice that Joe Biden? I mean, he didn't say, don't you think, or would you agree? He said, when did you first notice?
Yeah. I like how later she goes, Joe Biden's not on the ballot. Donald Trump is. Like, no, but you are. And you covered up for Joe Biden.
Perfect. All right. Big talk coming up next. Butters and Lee. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.